sun is a miasma of incandescent plasma. The sun's not simply made out of gas. No, no, no. The sun is a quagmire.
Well, people in Western Washington will be getting well acquainted with the sun as we get into this classic post-July 4th weekend weather. I'm Gabriel Spitzer here with Cliff Mass. Cliff, are we going to be forced to endure a weekend of gorgeous weather or what?
Well, it's not going to be perfect, and it's going to be sort of like we've had the last day. A lot of clouds in the morning and then breaking up in the afternoon. And the reason for that is that we have a trough of low pressure in the upper atmosphere over us right now. And so we've seen considerable amount of cloudiness in the mornings when we get up. And it starts to break up during the afternoon. And generally by 2 or 3, it's mostly sunny. And I think we're going to see that both today, Saturday, and Sunday. Fortunately, it's going to get much better after that.
So not necessarily one of these forecasts where you have big fat sun on each day as far as the eye can see?
That's right. It's a very typical late June, early July situation. The morning clouds, the burn off, and temperatures getting up around 70, that kind of deal. But there's very little precipitation in the forecast. The only possibility will be over the Cascades.
So maybe a weekend for afternoon barbecues rather than, say, brunch picnics.
That's right. And I think the temperatures are going to slowly warm up. But then Monday and Tuesday, a mini ridge comes in, area of high pressure, and that should bring us up to the upper 70s, maybe low 80s. And then it looks like a weaker trough may come in during the midweek, which may bring back the morning low clouds. But all in all, extremely nice forecast compared to what the rest of the country has been having.
So still sounds like not much precipitation expected in the near future. And all this dry weather has authorities here alert for wildfires. And July 4th is kind of the unofficial start of fire season here in Washington. And of course, weather plays a really central role in almost every wildland fire, it seems like. And we got a grim reminder of that earlier this week with the Yarnell Hill fire in Arizona that killed 19 firefighters. Now, Cliff, I understand you've been able to kind of parse the meteorological data surrounding that event. What have you discovered?
Well, I looked at it very carefully, and it was clear meteorologically what happened. A line of thunderstorms developed to the northeast of that Yarnell Hill area, and it started moving towards the southeast. Now, in front of thunderstorms, there's typically something called a gust front, where the winds pick up rapidly and often change direction. And this is due to the cold downdraft air coming out of the thunderstorms. So as these thunderstorms move towards Yarnell Hill, all of a sudden, this gust front hit. Now, before the gust front struck, the winds were from the south at around 10 to 20 miles per hour, so the fire was being pushed northward. But then, as this gust front came through, the winds reversed 180 degrees and then gusted up to 40 to 60 miles per hour, depending where you were. And that caused the fire not only to turn, but to explode. And unfortunately explode right in the vicinity of those firefighters.
So these gust fronts are sort of cooling off big chunks of air. These sort of moist, cold chunks of air come crashing down to earth and then just barrel forward as these strong winds and just turn the fire back, it sounds like.
That's right. In fact, this cold downdraft air is actually caused by the thunderstorm. What happens is precipitation falls out of the thunderstorm cloud. And often, particularly in Arizona, the air is dry at low levels, so you get rapid evaporation. Now, evaporation causes cooling, as you know, when you get out of the shower. And so the air becomes cooler, it becomes more dense, and it tends to sink. Also, the precipitation tends to drag the air down as well. So as this air accelerates down to the surface, it hits the surface, spreads out, and that produces strong horizontal winds.
Well, this sounds like something they might have been able to forecast. I mean, we heard so much that these wind patterns were so unpredictable and that's what accounted for so much loss of life. I mean, how out of the blue was this really?
That's what's so disturbing. This really was foreseeable. You could see a satellite animation or a radar loop. You could see this line coming towards you. And then, in fact, some of our high-resolution computer models were already that morning showing that this kind of thing could happen. So I think it's quite disturbing, and I think it shows the need for better meteorological input, especially on these early fires before a meteorologist is assigned.
Thanks a lot, Cliff.
Sure.
Cliff Mass is a professor of atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington, and he joins us here every Friday. You can hear more and submit your own weather questions at kplu.org. I'm Gabriel Spitzer, KPLU News.